Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 tonight. Just one short thought. We had a wonderful testimony time. Praise the Lord for you sharing your heart and opening up. You know, there's something about that. When we're willing to open up and share what God is doing in our lives, that spreads and it impacts others. The Bible says there's power in the preaching of the Word, so we don't want to neglect the preaching of the Word. But I'll tell you, there's also power in testimony. We're supposed to be witnesses of what God's doing in our lives, and that means telling what the Lord's doing, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so praise the Lord for many of you who spoke up for Him and blessed our hearts with a word of testimony tonight. Well, Luke chapter 2, the famous Christmas story, we want to look at verses 8 through 14. We've looked at them some this month already, but I want you to think about this question. When are God's power and plan revealed? When are God's power and plan revealed? And I guess what I mean by that is, when are they revealed to you or to us? And in this case, to the shepherds. Okay, when were they revealed? Luke chapter 2, let's read verses 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help me to explain the thought that you've laid on my heart this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine what it was like for those shepherds, first of all, to hear God's plan revealed to them. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And they were already amazed at the announcement from the angel, probably the angel Gabriel, the one who always made the big announcements. But then they saw a multitude of the heavenly host. And I think of angels as beings of light, and I imagine it just lit up the sky. And God's power and glory was revealed to them in a remarkable way. When was it revealed to them? A famous preacher named T. DeWitt Talmage said, It is while at our useful occupations that we have the divine manifestations. In other words, while we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, the normal everyday things that we're supposed to be doing, that God has given us to do, and we're faithful, that's when we have a divine manifestation. That's when God reveals Himself to us. Talmage also said, That man sees most of God in heaven who minds his own business. Now, he didn't mean it like, mind your own business, okay? But what he meant was, when you are minding or paying attention to the things that God has given you to do, that's when you're going to see God, His plan, and His power revealed. He also said, God reveals Himself to us while we are at our post of duty. While we are at our post of duty. Think about these shepherds. If they had left their flocks unattended that night, it's kind of hot out here tonight. I think I'll go into Bethlehem and get something to drink. You know, we'll just maybe just leave one shepherd out here to watch the sheep. We'll just take it easy, you know. And they didn't stay at their post. They would have missed the revelation of God's plan to them and the revelation of God's power to them if they're at their post. Sometimes we think, well, you know, if I could just take a month and not work and not do anything else, if I could just take a month and just read my Bible, just stay at home and read my Bible for a month and pray for a month, then I would be able to be closer to God and I'd know what God wants me to do. I know His plan for my life, and I'd see His power revealed. Well, first of all, let me say there is something to quantity prayer times and quantity Bible reading times. Okay, there is something to that. And there's no substitute for taking time to read your Bible and pray. However, the other side of that lesson is you might be mistaken to think that if you could just take a month off and do nothing but read your Bible and pray that you would be a lot better person. Because God wants to reveal Himself to you when you're at your post of duty. When you're doing the job that He's given you to do. If you'll do it as unto the Lord. If you'll be faithful to get up a little bit earlier, spend time with Him in your Bible and prayer, and before you go off to work or school or wherever you go, then He can make that time a spiritual time, and He can do something miraculous. He might transform your day. He might take the day that you thought you were going to be hammering nails or spraying bugs or plumbing or different jobs you guys do. He may interrupt that day, and you may end up leading somebody to Christ. And you might have to take some time off the time clock with the boss. I don't know, to be honest about it. But I don't know what's going to happen. He might interrupt your day and reveal unto you His power and His presence like He did for the shepherds and His plan. It might be that something just is laid upon your heart. Some scripture comes to mind. And you think, you know, I praise the Lord for this job He's given me, but God wants me to do something different. And He might move you on into Christian work. A young person, you're off at school one day doing your job, and all of a sudden, the Lord gets hold of your heart about something that happens at school, and you think, now I know what the Lord has for me and His plan for my life. These shepherds, their life was transformed that night, I guarantee you. Now, they probably continued being shepherds. Later on, the Bible says they returned. They probably continued being shepherds, but their lives were transformed. Something was different now, even in their shepherding. Generally, the best people are the busy people. Did you know that? Every pastor knows, if you have a job that you want done, don't ask somebody who's got nothing to do, because they won't get it done. You ask somebody who's busy, and they'll squeeze it in somehow. They'll get it done. Generally, the best people are the busy people. Notice the shepherds, they had God's power and plan revealed. God's power. The sky lit up with a multitude of the heavenly host. And they said, glory to God in the highest. I'll tell you what, I long to see God's power revealed. Oh, we're seeing things, as the song says, mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. We're seeing some exciting things at Bethel Baptist Church. We're seeing some people saved. We're seeing some lives transformed, some families rescued. But I'll tell you what, we're barely scratching the surface. There's so many needs in our city and in the surrounding areas. Port Charlotte, we got folks from Englewood and Placida now and Venice. And I'll tell you what, the needs are endless. Oh, that God's power would be revealed. Oh, that He would open up the sky, so to speak. Isaiah 64 says, oh, that Thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. You know, just rip it open, Lord, and let us see Your power. Let us see You working in people's lives. So that now when we talk to people about the Lord, it's not just us talking, but all of a sudden God's talking to them too. And they're listening, and they're open, and they're like, yeah, we want... And then their families get saved, and it spreads to their neighbors. And pretty soon, God is doing a mighty work. Do you believe God could still do that? He did it in America in the 1800s. You believe He could still do it? Yeah. Some say, well, not nowadays. He can't. He's not going to do that now. There's no hope for America. Hey, listen, if anything, God could spread revival faster now than He did in the 1800s. That sounds weird because God could do anything anytime He wants. But humanly speaking, it could spread quicker now because we've got internet, TV, radio. Things could spread even more quickly than they did before if God would come down in power. And when would He reveal Himself to us in power? When we're doing what we're supposed to do. Not only His power, but His plan. God said to these shepherds, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's His plan. His plan for Northport is good tidings, it's good news, of great joy, and it's for everybody in Northport. It shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's His plan, for them to know about the Savior. And then on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Hey, when somebody gets saved, there's peace in their heart. And all of a sudden, they want to do good things because they're different on the inside. Goodwill toward men. That's God's plan. We long to see God's power and plan in our lives, don't we? You know what you need to do? stay at your duty. Stay on duty. Keep reading your Bible every day. Keep praying every day. Stay on duty. Keep witnessing. Keep soul winning. Stay on duty. Be faithful in church. Be there Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Just be at your post. Be where you're supposed to be. And God's going to work. You know, I thought about Thomas. He doubted because he wasn't there that first Sunday night. The first Sunday night service. Thomas wasn't there. And he missed out. You know, we tried to have our kids in every service as they're growing up. Try to have them in every service. Because you never know when God's going to work. You never know when God's going to get through to them about something. You never know what's going to happen. If there was a youth activity or was preaching involved, they're going. They're going. Because you never know when God's going to get hold of somebody's life. And we wanted them to be in on things. I remember one time, I was an assistant pastor, and this one guy who was preaching at an area-wide youth event, our pastor didn't really like some of the things that he had been preaching, and I agreed with our pastor about it. He wasn't preaching heresy, but it was just going at things from a little bit of a wrong angle. And so we were nervous about taking the youth group, and the pastor said, "I don't think you should take the youth group." And I said, "Okay." But the Lord laid on my heart to take some of my kids with me. And one of my kids made a decision for Christ that day, not for salvation, but for something else really significant in their life. And I thought, okay, Lord, I'm glad that you laid on my heart to have them under the sound of that preaching. And you knew what was going on there, Lord. And God's in control, and we never know when He's going to reveal His plan. But just be where you're supposed to be, and you won't miss what God has for you. Isn't that a comfort? You know, sometimes, oh no, I don't know if I'm going to know God's will for my life. If you're just where God wants you to be, you won't miss it. He'll reveal it to you, like He did to these shepherds. Think of some other examples in the Bible before we go. King Saul. What was he doing? He was out looking for the lost donkeys. While he's out looking for lost donkeys, he finds the crown of Israel, and Samuel anoints him to be king. And God shows him His power and His plan for his life. Think about Elisha. Elisha was out plowing in the field when Elijah came by and flung the mantle over him and then left. And Elisha's like, "What are you doing, Elijah?" And he said, "What have I done to you?" He said, "I haven't done anything." Elisha knew. He just put the prophet's mantle on me. And he said, let me go say goodbye to my parents. And he killed the oxen and offered them as a burnt offering. In other words, I'm not going to plow anymore. I got something better to do. I want to serve God and follow Elijah. And Elisha follows Elijah. But when did that happen? Out there plowing the field, just like his dad told him to do. And then God said, "I got something more for you." And He called him and showed him His power and His plan. And then Elisha saw God's power on his life. Matter of fact, he did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. It's amazing. It's amazing. Think about Gideon. You know, Gideon, the guy who had this huge army show up, and God says, "That's too many. Dwindle them down a little bit." You know, the ones that, you know, drink water and don't do it like this. Get rid of them because they're not watching carefully. Get rid of them. And God dwindled His army down to 300. And He said, "Now go fight the multitudes of Midian with just the 300. So they took the trumpets and the pitchers with the candles inside. And they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers and the lights lit up and all the hill. And the Midianites were like, "Oh no! Midianites, oh no! Look at all these soldiers around. Look at all these lights and these trumpets." And they panicked and they started killing each other. And God wrought a great victory, and He revealed His power and His plan. But when did God come to Gideon? God came to Gideon in Judges 6, 11, and 12 when he was just doing what he was supposed to do. He was threshing wheat. Threshing wheat. He was just doing what he was supposed to do. It's time to wheat harvest. Time to harvest wheat. And boom, God comes to him and says, "You're the one. You're going to deliver Israel from the Midianites." I think about Matthew. The disciple Matthew, what was he doing? Anybody know? Yeah, he was sitting there at the receipt of custom. He was just collecting the taxes. And Jesus said, "You, Matthew, follow me." And God revealed His power and presence and plan for Matthew when he was just doing his normal job, what he was supposed to be doing. And God revealed the plan for Matthew to forsake all and follow Christ. And then God showed His power by transforming Matthew's life and inspiring him to write the words of the first gospel, the book of Matthew. Okay, God gave him those very words to write. Incredible how God used them. And then lastly, think about James and John. James and John, two of the disciples, two of the apostles. John is the one that wrote the book of John. and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and God had him pen the book of Revelation. And then James, another great Christian man. You know what happened to those apostles? They were out mending their nets. They weren't sitting out there lazy in the sun, or Jesus probably wouldn't have called them. They were mending their nets. They were busy at what they were supposed to be doing. And then Christ says, I got something more for you. Come with me. And they followed him and left all. And they became fishers of men and got to see great things. Folks, we long to see God's power and plan in our lives. Stay at your duty. Stay at your duty. Here, we're getting ready to start 2012. Keep reading your Bible every day. Keep praying every day. Keep witnessing for Christ. Keep handing out tracts. Keep setting aside a weekly soul-winning time where you can block out that time to fulfill the Great Commission, help our church do so. Be faithful in your church attendance. Just stay at your post at what God wants you to do, and then watch for Him to reveal Himself in power to you. And ask Him to do it. I'm sure the Israelites were asking God, deliver us from Rome, send us the Messiah, send us the Savior. And we need to ask God to do something special and then look for Him to do it. Maybe it'll be this year. Maybe it'll be before 2012 hits that God reveals Himself to you in His power and His plan for your life to be something special. Maybe it'll be this year that we'll see His power come in a widespread way. I'm asking Him to do it and hope you'll ask Him to do it as well. Let's bow in prayer.